The scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. I'll be reading from the New King James. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to express my gratitude to Rick for allowing me to preach this morning. Came into his office earlier the last week, and we talked a little bit, and I had made the comment before because I'd had an opportunity to talk to him and Brother Dennis and Brother Mike before we even got here, that we were not coming here to sit in our back porch in a rocking chair. Came here to work with this congregation. I'm looking forward to this. I do notice a number of faces, even the shorter time as we've been here, are not here today. I'm going to attribute that to this being the last weekend before school, not because they heard I was preaching. But in all seriousness, it is good to be here. What a privilege it is always to be able to preach and teach from God's Word. You know, when you stop and think about it, brethren, this book right here is the only book of the revealed will and mind of Jehovah God. There's no other. It is the divine inspired word that God gave us to teach us how we are to live in this world and what it will take to become a child of God. And what it will take to remain a child of God and what it will mean for us to be a child of God in this world and, of course, to get to the heaven. The Bible is the only book in the world that tells of man's origin. It's the only book in the world that tells of the destiny of man, our destination. That is to say, where we came from and where we are going, and of course, how to get to that desired place that we want to be, and that known as heaven. The Bible tells us that we are made up of two distinct natures. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, that was read for us. There is that outward man. And when he talks about the outward man, he's talking about the carnal part of us. He's talking about that physical, fleshly aspect of the human being. But we also see in that text the inward man. Folks, this is the spiritual side of man. And this is the part that we stop and think about is what will go on throughout eternity. This body will be destroyed. Our bodies will be changed. It'll be like unto Christ. Now, we don't know exactly what that's going to be. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But we know that this physical body is not going to go on as we recognize it today. You know, Paul in our text of 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 18 spoke of the outward man. And that outward man, he says, is something that's temporary. But that inward man, that spiritual man that he talks about, is that which is eternal. And folks, that's what we want to focus on today. We want to talk about the very things that are important to us in the idea or the responsibility, if you will. And don't shake and tremble at the idea of responsibility, because along with responsibility, there's almost always privilege. But we are responsible for knowing God's Word. And hence the title of our lesson this morning, Giving All Diligence to God's Word. You know, Jesus made it clear that there are two parts of man. And that spiritual side is the one that is of most value. We see that in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Remember there that Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In that very simple statement, he says the physical body is not that important. Somebody can come along, the governments of this world, an individual who is operating outside of the government, can come and kill my body. But that's okay. Because you see, I have something greater to look forward to as a child of God. I should not fear those who can take this physical life away from me. I need to be in great reverence and awe of Jehovah God, who I will stand before one day in judgment. But maybe even clearer than this is Matthew 16 verse 26. Remember there that Jesus said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Folks, stop and think about some of the richest people in the world that we hear about on TV. We hear about in the news. We hear about people like Bill Gates. We hear about people that have great wealth. Escaping my mind right now, of who I'm coming up with. He lives in Omaha, Nebraska. Very rich man. A leader of Berkshire Hathaway and all these other great companies. But you think about all that they've gained in life. And Jesus says, well, what if that person were to have gained everything in this world? What if they had all the gold, all the silver, all the platinum, every precious jewel you can think of, all the diamonds, the sapphires, the emeralds, the rubies, you name it. And he owned all the world, but he loses his own soul. Jesus says the spiritual part is what really mattered. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Now, folks, while our origin here on earth is both physical and spiritual, it is our destiny that depends upon our spiritual side. And to that end, we want to talk about the idea that, yes, we are, in fact, responsible to know God's Word. We are responsible to be diligent students in God's Word. It's not an optional matter. It goes way back to Old Testament times. Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16 tells us to search from the book of the Lord and read. Well, folks, when we begin to search the Lord's Word, when we begin to know what God would have us to be and what He would have us to do, then and only then are we ready to meet that destiny we've been talking about. Paul said something very similar, wrote something very similar to Timothy, that young gospel preacher, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. He said, "Till I come, give attendance or attention to reading, to exhortation and doctrine." Well, folks, we don't know how to exhort each other as Christians if we don't know the Word. We don't know what doctrine is if we don't know God's Word. And certainly a passage that we all know, we're all very familiar with, is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Where Paul, again writing to Timothy, says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth." Now the New King James rendering and the American Standard Version rendering, I believe, uses the idea of be diligent or give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed and able to handle God's Word correctly. How critical is that? The psalmist in Psalm 1 tells us to meditate on God's Word day and night. He said, and when we do, we find the blessings of God. When we fail to meditate upon God's Word day and night, certain and sure punishment is going to come our way. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And we're just touching on the hem of the garment on all the different passages that we could use to emphasize this idea that studying is not an optional matter. It's a responsibility laid upon us by God. And folks, it is a privilege to be able to study God's Word. I want you to stop and think for just a moment. What a blessing it is we live in the nation that we do live in. There are so many folks in this world that because they have a Bible, their life is in danger, or most of them don't even have a Bible. In many cases, their language, the Bible has not really been translated into, and therefore, they don't really know the word. Nobody's taking it to them. But look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul would write to the church at Colossae, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Folks, the word of Christ can't dwell in us. The word of Christ cannot dwell in us richly in all wisdom if I don't take the time to study it. We're not going to get it by osmosis. We're not going to be able to put that Bible under our pillow at night, put our head on the pillow and wake up the next morning and it's just infused into our mind. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? I don't know about you. I know my own life. I'll tell you for a fact. I have always been one that had to study. Because you see, it didn't just sink right in. I know some people, when I was back in school, I had fellow students that when it came to memory work, they could glance over it two or three times. It was locked in their mind and they were good. Man, I brought myself flashcards home and I'd go over them and over them and over. After about the 25th time, I might have that passage down. I've always had to study. It's not been that easy for me. Well, folks, I'm not complaining. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying it emphasizes to me the need for me to be diligent in God's Word. Now, we've looked at Isaiah 34 and verse 16. We've looked at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Psalm 1, and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let me emphasize something. These were not divine suggestions. These were not divine suggestions. These were given that we might know what God would have us to do. I want us to stop and think about the Bereans for just a moment. We read about them in Acts chapter 17. And it says there that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica. Why was that true? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. To see if, that is, verify that the things that were being taught to them were true. And in some cases, I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. These were being taught by the apostles in some cases. And yet they still search the Scriptures. I've always emphasized to people, don't take my word for something. You go to the book of books yourself. If there's a question in your mind at all, did he really preach that? Is that really what the Bible teaches? Go get your book and study it for yourself. Come to me if I'm wrong. Bring your Bible. Let's study through it. And if I'm wrong, I'll flip like a fish on the beach. I'll change in a heartbeat. Why? Because I want to go to heaven. I want my eternal home to be with the elect of the Apostle Paul. I want my eternal home to be with the likes of Abraham. I want my eternal home to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something. When we study the Scriptures, when we search the Scriptures, there's a positive result that comes from that. How do we know? Acts chapter 17 and verse 12 says, "And many believed, also not a few of the Greeks, both women and men." You see, folks, when we study God's Word, when we have it proclaimed, when we hear it, we can take God's Word back with us. And we can teach it to others also. You know, yes, studying God's Word is not an optional matter. But you know what? There's a sad consequence for lack of Bible study. And I'm going to suggest to you that probably this falls into the realm of willful ignorance. And I use the term willful because we know from the very text that we've just seen, and others could be listed, that we are instructed to be a people of knowledge when it comes to God's Word. We need to know what God has to say. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, Paul lists for us three negatives that actually resulted from the ignorance of the Gentile world. And theirs was willful ignorance. And why I say that is because even prior to the New Testament age, the Gentiles were still under patriarchal law. They were still under that moral law from God. And they could have and should have known it and could have and should have been following it. But listen to what it says. Listen, quote, they walked in the vanity of their minds, the futility of their minds. They were walking according to the flesh, brethren. Number two, any understanding that they might have had about God and His will for them was darkened. In other words, it was withheld from them. And it wasn't because God wanted it to withheld from them. It's because they had chosen to walk in the flesh. They had chosen not to walk after the teachings of God and those that He had given to the patriarchs. And number three, they were alienated from God. Folks, they had estranged themselves from God. They had chosen not to know God. And I guess one of those passages that jumps out of our mind or into our mind when we start thinking about consequences of not knowing God's Word is Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. But let's back up and notice something. First of all, in verse 1, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." Why did He bring this charge? The King James, I think, renders that He had a controversy with them. Can you think of anybody you don't want a controversy with? How about God? Listen to what it says. Because there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Why? They had God's Word. The people of Hosea's day had the old covenant, as we would refer to it, they had it in their hands. But let's get to verse 6. And here's a fault I will admit is mine. There have been times that I've used, and probably more times than not, where I have tried to emphasize we need to know God's law, and I'll take you to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, and I'll read the first sentence. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I would stop there. Why did I stop there? Continue on. He said, because you were rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. And here, maybe, is one of the saddest statements that you will find in the entire Bible. It says, because you have forgotten the law, I will also forget your children. You see, it wasn't God's desire. It was not God's will that the children be forgotten. The problem is here, folks, is they did not even know the scriptures. They did not even know God's word themselves so that they could pass it down to their children. There are consequences, folks, when we don't study God's Word. There are consequences when we are not diligent students of God's Word, when we don't give all diligence to the Word of God. You know, another sad consequence of being willfully ignorant is sometimes it can actually cause the wrong to seem right and the right to seem wrong. You look around the world today, and you look at how upside down people's thinking are on moral issues. How opposite, how antithetical to the Bible they are. And it's reminiscent of Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The world is upside down. Well, folks, let me tell you something. I can fall into that trap myself if I don't know God's Word. If I don't go to God's Word and learn exactly what He has in store for me and the knowledge, the abundant knowledge that He's given to us in His Word. It can happen to me. I can get things turned upside down. You can too. It's easy to be pulled on by the world. The world has so many devices out there to pull people away from God and to the world. You know what happened to Jesus' time, didn't it? In John chapter 16, verse 2, Jesus would tell His disciples that the time would come when the chief priests and the rulers of Judaism would think that they were actually doing God's will by killing His apostles. They were upside down, weren't they? They had things backwards. Folks, we look at places like Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. And Peter told the Jews that it was by their own ignorance. He said it this way, I know you did it ignorantly. And it was by the ignorance of the rulers of that day that they denied Jesus as the Christ and as a result caused him to be put to death. But brethren, pleading ignorance, all the while God's word is at our fingertips, will not stand on judgment day. It will not wash on judgment day. It won't play. I can almost hear it in my own mind. Father, I didn't know that that was a sin. And God responded to me, Royce, why not? I gave it to you. Why didn't you know that? Well, I just didn't study. Why didn't you study? I gave you every opportunity to study. I gave you every opportunity and chance to be more knowledgeable in my ways and my word. It won't wash. Folks, we, by ourselves and of ourselves, are not capable of directing our own way in life. It's just not the case. It's not possible. We need to be students of God's Word. We need to give all diligence to God's Word. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to be able to rightly divide or handle correctly the Word of God. Well, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, again, a passage that probably almost immediately comes to mind. Oh, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. You see, I know how to get around town. I can do that. I know what kind of decisions I can make if I go to a store and I'm looking for something, I need to buy something, or whatever else this physical world has to offer. But folks, from a spiritual standpoint, I can't make my own way by myself. I need God's Word. And I want us to stop and think about it. We're going to read verses 24 and 25 of Jeremiah chapter 10. I see in here a plea for mercy. Here is Jeremiah, a hand-selected man by God. Now stop and think about that. And yet he pleads for mercy. He realizes that the truth of that statement. I'm not able to walk in this world by myself. I can't make my own way. I can't make my own way of salvation. I need you, God. I need your word. He says, O Lord, correct me, but with justice. Not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Boy, he's pleading for mercy here. And here, this is a man of God. This is the weeping prophet. This is the man who is trying to bring God's people back to him, back to God. He says, pour out your iniquity on the Gentiles who do not know you, and the families who do not call on your name, for they have eaten up Jacob, that is Israel, devoured him and consumed him and made his dwelling place desolate. But it's a plea for mercy. Jeremiah knew the truth of that statement. It's not within me to direct my own steps. I need you, God. Well, folks, we need to be studying God's Word so we can know God better. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 is another one of those verses, isn't it, that we all know? There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. Oh, yeah, we think we got things wired sometimes. We think we have it all figured out. Oh, man, this way, this is the right way to go. This is the right thing to be doing. Without God in our life and knowledge of His Word, without being diligent students of God's Word, you know what? We're just walking around blind. We really and truly are spiritually blind. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 17 and verse, or 7 verse 13, I'm sorry, that following man's broad way will lead us to destruction. He says in the contrary to that, in verse 14, he says, narrow is the gate, difficult or straight is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. That tells me that following after the world, following after man's ways, is going to cost me. I need to be a diligent student of God's Word. And I need to be diligent enough, let me say this, let me emphasize this point. I need to be diligent enough to understand when I'm being taught error. I need to be diligent enough in God's Word that when it comes time for me to teach it or me to preach it, that I can follow Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32 is very similar. He says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. Be cautious. Whatever God's word is sacred. It's important. It's what's going to lead us to eternal life. And then he adds to that, you shall not add to it nor take from it. Why is that so important? Well, I find the answer to that, or at least part of the answer, in Proverbs 30 verses 5 through 6. Every word of God is pure. Think about that for a moment. Purity, cleanliness, without corruption. And he says that's what God's word is. It's pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. But you know what? The writer of Proverbs 30 here didn't stop there. He added the exact same idea and thoughts of Deuteronomy 4:2 and Deuteronomy 12 verse 32. He said there, very plainly, do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. I need to be knowledgeable in God's word. Turn with me for just a moment, and we'll read from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Here the Apostle Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, and remembering that this was written about 53 to 56 A.D., about a three-year area that we're not 100% sure on. But this is a very relatively short period of time from the time that Jesus died on the cross. The church was established, as we read about it in Acts chapter 2, a relatively short period of time of about 20 years, maybe 23 years. And listen to the sad words of Paul to the churches of Galatia. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel. Let's stop there for just a moment and realize that what Paul was saying is there were people who were already drifting away. The churches of Galatia, many of them were wanting to go back into Judaism. And he says, I marvel at that. Beyond that, he says, there are those who pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, folks, if I'm a diligent student in God's word, I won't fall for those perversions. If you are a diligent student in God's word, you won't fall for those perversions of the gospel. But let's continue to read here. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. So you need to know. You need to be knowledgeable in God's word so when anybody comes up here and fills this pulpit, or you're traveling and you go somewhere to worship services somewhere, you need to know that you're not being taught something that is a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And finally, verse 9. As we have said before, now so I say to you again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Twice, Paul emphasizes this. Twice. Well, folks, again, we must know God's word. We must be diligent students of God's word. We must give all diligence to this great book of books, the revealed will and mind of God, to know whether or not we're being taught the truth. Studying God's Word, folks, is essential. And it's essential to every child of God. It's not an optional matter. And it's only through diligent study of God's Word will we know what those commandments are and how to follow those things. Only through knowing the will of God can we truly spread the truth of His soul-saving message, His soul-saving grace. We have to know it. May we all today be diligent and determined to be knowledgeable in the only book that can lead us to eternal life. Brethren, we always extend the invitation plea. Folks, we realize that not everyone has been baptized. That's the great challenge that we have as Christians, to take that gospel message out, preach the word, teach the word. And realize that maybe there's someone here this morning who has been considering this. You know what you need to do to be saved. You know what the Bible teaches. You have heard the word of God proclaimed. You believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're ready to repent of your sins. You're ready to stop living a life going down that highway toward an eternity in hell with Satan. And you're ready to turn that around and come back to an eternity with God. And you're ready to confess the sweet name of Jesus before men. Then you're ready to be baptized. And we'll ask along with Ananias, that we read about in Paul's own recounting of his conversion in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, "Why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Folks, you're ready for that. Our challenge or our exhortation to you this morning is, don't put it off for another moment. You won't find another time, a better opportunity, a better moment in life, if you've never been obedient to the gospel call, than right now. Become that child of God to start that marvelous journey of learning and knowing who the God of the Bible is. Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God. And as we mentioned just a little bit ago, so many things in this world pull us away. There are a whole lot more things in this world that will draw people away from God and toward the world than there are to draw people to God. But maybe you found yourself in that situation, that you've been pulled away from God, and you're ready to come back to God, and you're ready to come back to Him on His terms. Can you think of a better time than right now? Whatever your need may be, if we can help out at this time, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?